Greetings from Virginia. Beautiful morning, like summer. I was watching the movie To Kill a Mockingbird last night, and they were talking about fall spring. So that is what it's like in Virginia. If you're in the northern reaches of the country, you're probably enjoying some sunshine and maybe above 40 degree temperatures. Here it is like already this morning, 65, 66, going to be in the close to the 70s range, even though the sun goes down a lot sooner these days, even in places like Virginia. So it's been a while since I just sat down and did an easy talker by myself. Since I started this, I've been either doing kind of travel logs or talking to people, and that has been great, but it's been a while since I pulled out all the big microphones and all the toys and sat down on the stoop, so to speak, which in this case is the running board of Mobile Podcast Command, to talk about the pleasures and pain of nomad life so far in podcast 966, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, I want to welcome a new sponsor to Bob Davis Podcasts, not necessarily new to me, inspireandflourish.org. So I did the dog fashion show with inspireandflourish.org a while back. And if we're lucky, during this podcast, we'll get a visit from my sister's dog, Shane. Shane could be a poster child for her. He's a rescue dog. And Inspire and Flourish, if you want to help animals, let me tell you what they do. They help agencies that help animals, and Stephanie Fleming, who runs Inspire and Flourish, made sure that she told me, and we will go rescue the dogs if we have to, or the cats. But most of these agencies that help animals need help, and that's what Inspire and Flourish does. So if you want to make a donation to inspireandflourish.org, you can click on the banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcast.com, or just visit inspireandflourish.org. Anything that you can donate, they will find a way to use it, whether it's dog food or helping these agencies that help animals. If you want to help animals, if you help Inspire and Flourish, you're helping a lot of animals. inspireandflourish.org, or click on their banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcasts.com. And so we go from love of animals, to hate, hate of printers. Did you know most people hate their printers because they hate paying for print cartridges at the big box retailers? If you want to save up to 30% off the big box stores when it comes to print cartridges, then listen up, because I'm going to tell you about Cartridge World. Cartridge World cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new, and they do. Free delivery on qualifying orders. You can call them at 763-420-6632, serving Minnesota, and I would say the universe, from Maple Grove, Minnesota. Cartridge World. Click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com, that says Cartridge World. Why pay more to print? You can qualify for free delivery or maybe even a printer, depending on your business. Cartridge World, 763-420-6632. Well, I am relatively new to the full gonzo nomad life. In other words, I've certainly done travel. I've been out for at least, I've had this ambulance for 6 years, this Mobile Podcast Command 2000 Ford Super Duty 450 ambulance, which is not an RV. I can't say that enough. It's somewhat primitive, although I find it actually really comfortable, and I think it's because I've been driving this around the country for 6 or 7 years. So I'm not new to the whole experience of just traveling for extended periods of time, sometimes 2 months, 3 months. But I am new to getting rid of everything I own, giving it away, donating it, burning it, whatever it took to get out of, and literally everything that I own is in this vehicle. Anything of importance that I have left that I didn't get rid of is within this vehicle. And if you want to listen to those podcasts, I'll link to them in the blog, and you'll be able to listen to the whole process of what I did and why I did it. This almost calling to hit the road permanently. And It's very interesting, the things that you learn. I did a podcast recently about the mistakes. We all make mistakes, and when you make mistakes on the road, sometimes they can be expensive, you know, or they can be painful to have to realize that either you got to double back and spend another day going someplace which you thought you were going to get to in one day, or worse, you put 35 gallons of gas in a diesel engine, and that means that you have to spend some time getting that straightened out and some money getting that straightened out. And it always seems like there's some mechanical thing that has to get addressed. Some things are bigger than others. Right now, I got a brake issue that I'm going to have to get looked at here over the Thanksgiving holiday, which we're going to do, and it's all good. That can be painful, and just like your house, you know, you hear things or you listen for creaks and so forth. When you're in this vehicle 24 hours a day and this is where you live, you really start connecting and bonding with the vehicle, and every little sound drives me nuts. Every little sound, every little thing that happens, you know, is a forefront. What is that sound? What does it mean? Well, usually nothing. And you have to tell yourself that don't worry about every little thing. If it becomes a problem, it'll become a problem. Obviously, you don't want to get towed. And if you're like me, and I'm doing back roads, which means I'm spending most of my time in rural America, and the objective of this podcast is kind of share a little bit the pleasure and the pain. And obviously, one of the big pleasures is this general concept and general feeling of freedom that is so hard to get used to. It's very interesting because, obviously, as I said, I've been doing this a long time, and it took me by surprise, this general feeling of just, and it's a great feeling, this feeling that you can go anywhere you want to go. You don't need to stay. You don't ever have to come back. You're not paying rent. So there's that really general feeling of lightness. And then I don't have very much stuff. And so there's a general feeling of lightness because everything that I have is really, you know, useful. It has to be, or I don't have room for it. And I don't know what people do that have big giant RVs, because I think it just ends up being a container for all this other stuff that you have. People told me at the beginning of this thing, oh, you're going to need more space, you're going to need an RV, and you're going to need an RV for all the stuff you're going to collect. And in fact, I am in Virginia at my sister's house, which is way out by the mountains in western Virginia, on a longitude out Route 60 from Richmond. And I'm leaving stuff. I'm cajoling her and trying to convince her to let me leave more stuff here that I found that I did not need. I brought my PA system. I brought another Mac, and I brought my desktop Mac, which I really don't need, but I wasn't going to throw that away. So I brought all that stuff, and now I'm going to leave it here in Virginia because, you know, it just gets in the way. You find yourself with these things that are basically boat anchors. I mean, the PA is the size of a large sewing machine, so there's really no need to have that. And I've had that on a couple of trips where I had this PA that I thought I was going to use, and I ended up carting it all around. Last winter, I went down to Iowa, and my friend Tony Kiefer lent me his generator. I had visions of myself using the generator when I didn't need electricity or couldn't get electricity, and that turned into it. I filled it up with gas, and I smelled that gas from here to Tucum, Gary, right? So I didn't need that. So it was kind of funny that I returned it to Tony, and I said, didn't even use it. I don't even know if it works. So he goes, oh, it works, because I think I had it on once. He goes, I've never used it either. It was my brother's. So he's got it back at his garage. But, you know, you take these things that you think you're going to need, and you really don't need those things. And I could do 3 podcasts about these things that you don't need. What I solved the electricity problem with is a Heat Buddy propane heater and a separate can bottle, a 15-pound can of propane in a separate container, which having an ambulance turned out to be the right thing, because I put the propane where the oxygen used to go, and that's a vented compartment. And don't worry, I get all these emails and letters. Oh, you know, you're going to kill yourself. No, I'm not, because that's a vented container and I know how to make sure there's airflow and we're covered on that front. And that frees me from being tethered to electricity and being cold. Now, I have a good sleeping bag. I mean, I can sleep when it's cold and I don't intend to be where it is cold for very long, but it is good to be able to have a heater when you need it. And actually, I've had it on and turned it off because it was too hot at some point in the night. So it's all good. But it takes time to sink in, this concept of freedom and the realization that there really are no rules in terms of what you can do, where you go, and really what you're going to do. As I mentioned, there's no rent. The new rent in my world is fuel and getting the truck fixed every now and then. As I mentioned, I got to do a brake job at some point. I think that's what the problem is right now. I don't know. That's going to cost whatever it's going to cost. But you know, I've budgeted for that, so it's okay. It's just you don't have rent anymore, but you do have to keep the vehicle up, and it's under essentially constant use. One of the things that I've talked a little bit about is the idea that you do not want, or I don't want, to just run pell-mell across the country, because you will spend a lot of money and you're just going to run pell-mell across the country and then you're going to be in some other place and then you're going to keep going. So at some point you have to stop and take your time. So I got a lot of stuff I could do. Talk about parks, and I went to Great Smoky Mountain National Park and I thought it was just going to be a short-term thing. You know, I was just going to go there and do as my sister trying to get the dog in. Shane. Hey, Shane, what's up? You better go inside or you're going to be in big trouble. Oh, you want me to scratch your butt? Okay. So anyway, what was I saying? You better go back. You better go back. He wants to be a guest on the podcast. Shane, you better go back inside. So that's the new rent, is just getting the truck fixed and maintaining the truck and making sure everything's good. I'm going to have to get new tires and things like that. But the idea that you run pell-mell across the country is an anathema to what this is all about. It's supposed to be taking your time. It's really nice to be here in Virginia and just be here for about a week or so. So it's good. Once the Thanksgiving holidays are over, and I'm going to talk about this in the second half of this podcast, the challenge begins in earnest. This is where I've often joked that this is where the magnitude of what I've done is going to come home to roost. And I'm not quite sure, because I've been visiting friends, and that's great. Visiting friends is great, but at some point you got to strike out and be on your own and still take the time to stop and take in wherever it is that you are. Not being a big state and national parks person, and I'll tell you that story in the second half of the podcast, it's going to be difficult for me, because I kind of have always had an objective when I'm gone somewhere to travel someplace to either go see somebody or go to some event that's happening. And that is not what's going to be happening after the Thanksgiving holiday. So we'll talk about that in the second half of this podcast. Got to tip the hat once again to my guys at 36 Lynn Refuel Station, the refueling station at 36 and Lindale Avenue in South Minneapolis. It's all about the store. The secret sauce is the store, all kinds of locally sourced products, great coffee, great events. And because they're an independent refueling station, they get you a better deal on fuel. And that's one of the main reasons 36 Lynn Refuel is always busy. But there's always stuff going on, too. They do great events for the community. Check them out on Instagram at 36Lynn or 36Lynn.com and on Facebook. But you'll love their Instagram feed. They also have merchandise. I noticed that as well. And all kinds of great events in the community, as I mentioned. 36 Lynn. Check them out online at 36Lynn.com or click on the 36 Lynn banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, 36LYN.com. Now, if you've just invented something, I'm going to refer you to a manufacturer, because I talk to people that invent stuff all the time, And they want to know, hey, do you know anybody who's a good manufacturer? Yes, I do. Depot Star, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. They do CNC. They do design. And they're good guys. Mark Korn himself is an inventor. He's the guy that runs the company. So he gets your inventor entrepreneurial heart. He has his own crazy ideas. So check him out, depotstar.com, D-E-P-O-T-S-T-A-R, depotstar.com, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Yeah, let me quick tell you the story about the Smoky Mountains National Park, Great Smoky Mountains National Park. I did have an objective, and that was I really wanted to go to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. And I thought, well, I'll get in there. They'll have wood. I want to get a pass to the national parks. There's some things I want to take care of. And you get up in there. So Great Smoky Mountain, I understand. I may be wrong about this, but I've been told that the Great Smoky Mountains National Park is the busiest national park in the country. And it makes sense because it's really not an out of the way. Almost everyone can get there. So if you live on the East Coast, you can get down through West Virginia, Maryland, West Virginia, and then come down to Tennessee and get in that way, or go straight down to North Carolina. If you live south, you can come up the other way. If you live in the Midwest, you can get to Tennessee and get over to the Tennessee side of the park. Not a problem at all. But once you get in there, number one, it's very up and down. Number two, the campsites, at least when I was there, all the campsites were closed but two. And so I had to go to the one by North Carolina because that was the closest one. The other one was, I was going to go that way, but somebody told me, well, actually there was a sign that said it was a 4-hour wait to get there, and I didn't want to do that. And I made it to, I think it's Smokemont was the campsite that was open. Beautiful campsite. No wood. I forgot to get wood. And I really didn't prepare. Like I had some stuff to eat, but I wasn't prepared for what I envisioned would happen. And this is the thing. If you're like me, you have a big imagination and you have a vision of what it's going to be like. And then when it isn't like that, you start thinking, well, what do I have to do so that the next time? So if you're going to go to the national parks and you're going to camp, you got to stop and get some wood. You got to get the heat treated wood. And they say, oh, you can use the wood in the park, but there isn't very much wood in the park. I did have a short little fire, but it wasn't very enjoyable, and it was cold, so I didn't have a really good time up there. And then, of course, it was a stop down. And when I came out, I ended up in North Carolina, and since I was going to Virginia, I had to come all the way back around from almost to Asheville and then work my way back up to 81 and Bristol, Virginia, and then on up. And I was going to stay in Bristol. Well, I did stay in Bristol, but I had visions of staying in Bristol and doing the whole country music thing. And then I ended up at the Walmart parking lot in Bristol and then just headed out. So the planning thing is important in terms of if you want to have an experience. And I the reason I bring it up is I'm not, I see a lot of people that are doing the nomad thing. And they love to go to state parks and national parks and hang out. And I don't really do that. So I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work in terms of what I think I'm doing. And so this is this question of visiting, you know, revisiting or thinking about the mission. Because once you get past all of the initial excitement of just being not having to go home, then you start to start thinking on, well, am I just going to spend my time seeing friends and bothering my friends, or am I going to figure out something? So I'm spending right now, and I don't have an answer to this question, but I'm spending an awful lot of time on this question of what's the mission. And this is a big piece. This isn't some little thing. What's the mission? We're just going to drive around and go to national parks and do podcasts and meet crazy people. That's really not the mission. And I've had good friends of mine, very close people to me, say, what you're really seeking is some kind of enlightenment. And that's a big mission. What's the enlightenment? And as I said, and by the way, when I did the podcast about the sustainable homes in Lexington, I mentioned that my friend's wife had said that she had the same inclination to get out of Minneapolis right away. And they left Minneapolis the same day that I left Minneapolis, October 31st. And we hadn't talked to each other in years. And I find that fascinating. And I wonder about other people that may have felt the the call, shall we say, and I do feel it was a call. I'm not religious, so, you know, I'm not trying to do you some kind of Bible verse or anything like that, but it was almost as though I was being called to be out here at this time. And I've been spending most of my time in the rural parts of the country. So I'm not quite sure what that means. I don't really want to go to the cities. I'm really interested in the rural parts of the country. But if I'm seeking enlightenment, well, that's an interesting question. What kind of enlightenment are you seeking? Or are you being called to be out here to communicate at the present time, given I almost don't want to mention, in fact, I'm not going to mention either thing, given the angst and strife and concern that people feel right now. And I'll talk more about that probably in a future podcast. But this question of mission is really there in this question of pleasure and pain. You get great pleasure from feeling free. And you get pain from trying to figure out what it is that you're doing. Why are you doing this? And if you think you know why you're doing it, and I'm talking about as much as myself as anybody else, you'll find that you really don't know why you're doing it. Somebody said in some Instagram post, we had our school bus that we fixed up and we went out and we had all this stuff and we found out we had too much of what we didn't need and not enough of what we really did need, but we didn't know. And even though I've traveled a lot, I learn every day there are things that I do not need, and I still have thrown things away. I've still got dead space and I'm just hauling things that I don't know why I brought them. I have 15, 20 yoga towels in there. I don't know what I'm going to do with those, since you end up doing yoga on the grass because you can't put your mat down. So I have two yoga mats and about 14 or 15 of those yogi toes. I don't know what I'm going to do with those. I have a couple of plastic boxes of things here and there that kind of just take up space. You know, I was told I should get some kind of refrigerator. I'm using a cooler. So far, it's a little bit problematic, but not the end of the world. But in general, I haven't come to a conclusion about the overall mission. I think I know. I don't really want to say. It's not anything, you know, earth-shaking. But I think if the general mission is to be enlightened or seek enlightenment, to find something that I'm going to learn from being out here, then it's going to unfold, right? I don't want this thing, even though I love my friends, I don't want this whole experience to be about visiting friends. For example, I fully intend to spend Christmas on the beach down in the Gulf by myself. I doubt very seriously if there'll be anybody around. As far as, and that doesn't bother me actually at all. As far as networking with people of like mind, I hope that happens. I've started to follow some people on Instagram that are doing this, and we'll see. Oddly enough, a lot of them are following me from Europe, which is bizarre. So we'll see how that goes in terms of networking and finding out if there's an ecosystem there that I can develop and that from a business standpoint comes in handy. But I would say that the biggest great, positive, pleasurable thing for me right now is, you know, it's 70 degrees here and beautiful and sunny and summer still, and it's almost Thanksgiving. And I've come down here many times for Thanksgiving. Sometimes it's been cold. I don't think I've ever seen it snow this early in Virginia. But it's been cold and it's been, you know, you don't really want to spend that much time outside. This is still summer here, and that is incredible. And I intend to stay down here in the southern hemisphere, the southern United States, which is rumored to be going to have a warmer winter than it has had in years. So I'm going to spend my time in Texas and New Mexico in the southern part, down by the border, Arizona, California, the desert, and that is all yet to come and yet to talk about. So the endless summer part of this, did you ever see that? Remember that documentary that was in the 60s about surfers called Endless Summer? And that always, you know, got me, Endless Summer. And this is what this is. Have I had any cold nights? I had one or two cold nights. I did have a cold night up in Smoky Mountains National Park, but I had my propane heating system So I actually turned it off because it was too hot. But it was, you know, it's really nice to be toasty warm in your vehicle and have it be cold outside. But yeah, continuous summer is something that really appeals to me. And it's one of the great pleasures because I can go where I want to go. So the plan is, as I have said, spend summer in the desert and in the southern part of the United States, not going to Florida because Florida in season is a joke. I wouldn't, if you plan on going to Florida, I'm sorry, I feel sorry for you unless you have somewhere to go. If you're going to visit friends, great. But getting into southern Florida, it takes so long to get down there, and then you can't park anywhere. They won't let you park in the Walmart parking lots, especially in the Keys. There's nowhere to go. So you end up being parked on the street. You can't get close to the beach. The last time I went down there was terrible. The time to go to the Florida Keys is in July. That's when nobody is there. It's hot as blazes, which doesn't bother me, but that's the time to go to the Keys for sure. Late summer, early fall. Let's see. But the overall plan is to go ahead and spend the rest of the winter in some of these great Western places. And as I've often said in these podcasts, when traveling, when I'm going west, I feel great. That's one of the great pleasures, is driving west. Looking down at that compass and seeing that you're driving west is a great feeling. Southwest is even better. So once I get to California, I'm figuring if I take my time, then it'll be like maybe February, March, and I can start moving up the coast to some of these great places I visited. I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago. I went to LA once on bald tires with all bad muffler, all kinds of problems in this truck. And now I'm obsessing about a brake situation, right? So there's always something with the truck. But I remember I went out to LA and then drove up north. And I don't even remember when that was. It all ends up being a blur. This time I'm taking notes. I'll have you know. I'm writing down routes and roads that I've taken so that I can talk about that at some point and talk about it with authority. But then my plan is to head on all the way up to Seattle and see some friends in Seattle, and then start working my way across the northern tier long about late May, early June, and come all the way back through down to Minneapolis in July, and then I want to head over to New England for late summer and then come down the eastern seaboard and then maybe go down to Florida. So that's kind of the plan, and I'm not quite sure what I'll encounter. You know, I'm still, I don't know where we're at with the yoga situation. I know they closed a lot of yoga studios in Minnesota. For people interested in that, I've got a really strong yoga practice every day, sometimes twice a day for years. And it becomes quite a challenge. I did 108 sun salutes yesterday right here on the grass. I'm really trying to practice every day. And you end up having to practice by yourself and on the grass or someplace. And it's great. It's a great thing to practice outside. But they've closed a lot of ashrams and places where people go to do yoga. So I'm not quite sure where we're at with that. So that's kind of the thing. We'll see what happens in January. If things get better, maybe things will change on that front. But so I guess that's it. And I don't, you know, again, what's the mission? Well, that's a good question. And I don't know what you think the mission would be. I guess I would entertain suggestions. All you have to do is hit me up on thebobdavispodcast.com. Go find the comment section and just go on there and you can comment, and I'll get that as a message. That might be an option. But I will say, you don't know till you get out here. And so this is unfolding. And that's probably one of the great pleasures about this. When it's all said and done, and I've been out here for a while, I think that'll be one of the things that I talk about as a positive, that it should unfold unexpectedly. It shouldn't be just this big plan that you follow. It should be something that there's almost adventure and something new around every corner, good and bad. Well, I'm going to start at the end with a simple thank you to everybody who's donated to the Bob Davis Podcast via the donate button at the page of the BobDavisPodcast.com, right on the side where you see mobile podcast command. John Holland, $150. John. $160. Ed Nass, I think Ed gave me $100, and everybody else who has been so great. I don't really, expect these large contributions. A lot of people, it's $25 or $75. $100. But some people have really, you know, given me a lot. Ben Harris, $100. You know, Katie, $200. Andrew Davis, my son, $150. It's crazy. And I'm always surprised. I really appreciate the donations. And it doesn't matter if they're $5 or anything else. I'd be glad to mention you or mention your business if you make a donation. And again, thank you. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes. And thank you for subscribing at iTunes. That really helps. If you see a post on Facebook, please, if you like it, share it. Comments don't help me very much, but shares do. And thanks for following on Facebook and Twitter. And again, thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com to support this travel podcast. Thanks for listening to podcast 966, Pleasure and Pain of Nomad Life So Far After About a Month. I still love it. Thanks for listening to podcast 966.